You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Welcome aboard. It is a Monday edition of the Gym Class, starting the month of February. Hope you had a great Groundhog's Day yesterday. Probably not as good as Caitlin Clark or the rest of the Iowa women's basketball team did, but I hope you had a good weekend nonetheless. Great to have you aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash with you. I'll be joined by Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, in a moment. Isaac on the other side of the glass as we get ready to talk a bevy of subjects here today. We are going to catch up with Rob Gray from the Cedar Rapids Gazette and Cyclone Fanatic coming up in about a half hour or so. Live from Lawrence, Kansas, or at least close to Lawrence, Kansas, we'll find out. He's on his way to see you to Fog Allen tonight for Iowa State and Kansas, a big one in the Big 12. Can Iowa State end this two-game slide that they are on right now? And we will talk about that. It's not time to panic or anything like that, for sure, but you would not like to lose three in a row if you are Iowa State. So we'll talk with Rob coming up just a little bit. We'll look back at yesterday's exciting day at Carver-Hawkeye Arena and talk about the not good news coming out of the Iowa men's basketball program. What's new? 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. Love to hear from you, as always. 319-366-1600. That is a phone line as well. Same digits, 319-366-1600. As we come your way at 306 on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. And a pleasant Monday and happy February to you, Mr. Mark Dukes. How are you?
I'm good, Scott. Same to you. Welcome, everyone, and interesting weekend, no doubt about it. I'll have more interesting nuggets on the Emo's Hideaway scoreboard at the bottom of the hour before we talk to Rob Gray.
Hello, Isaac.
Hello.
How was your rough and tumble weekend? It wasn't Good Friday, I know that.
it was about what I expected Friday. I was only one off. The only one I got wrong was 57. But other than that, I thought it was fun. Really interesting basketball weekend as far as, obviously, you have the Iowa women yesterday, but then you also have some NBA stuff, which I do like, and that was, very surprising. That's all. We'll talk more about that, I guess, later maybe, but yeah, that was very interesting.
I was hoping they get the 157 because that would have put me over the top.
Yeah.
But I came out on the short end.
There will be some interesting wrestling news tomorrow, too. Maybe with Iowa, there's the top-rated recruit
yes.
is supposed to make his announcement tomorrow, so we'll see how that lands. That would certainly soften the blow, I think, for Iowa if they were to land him.
319-366-1600. Speaking of the pick six, Mark, we should update people on that right away. We do not have a winner yet. We have to wait until tonight's Iowa State-Kansas game before we determine a winner.
That's the last item to be settled, and only two of the four of us can win. It's either you or Spencer. If Kansas beats Iowa State tonight, you will win on a tiebreaker over Dave. If Iowa State wins, all four of us will finish at 3-3, and Spencer will win via the tiebreaker.
If I would have just got that third win Friday night. I had my fingers crossed. Didn't happen. 2.5. You guys set a very good line, though, by the way, for that Iowa-Penn State duel. Iowa did come back to beat Maryland. We'll talk about this on Wednesday with Mark Ironside. Looking forward to that. And yes, Matt in Fairfax, it is Super Bowl week. And in Spags, we trust for Chiefs Kingdom out there. 319-366-1600. Do you want to start with the good news or the bad news, Mark? They always ask you that. Do you want to go with the good news or the bad news first? So I will let you make the call on this.
It's not up to me, I think, what people are talking about today.
They're still talking about what happened at Carver yesterday.
That's what people are talking about.
Indeed. And let's start there before we get to the bad news. What a day. Not only due to the fact that it was the jersey retirement ceremony for Caitlin Clark, not only because outside the Grammys, and we won't even talk about the costumes, et cetera, there, but other than that, this was the epicenter of celebrity dumb around the country. Was Iowa City, Iowa yesterday as the Iowa women upset number 4 USC. Oh, by the way, they won the basketball game yesterday, which is a big one as far as the Hawkeyes and their resume is concerned for the NCAA tournament. Iowa was, according to Charlie Cream, the last bracketology that he put out, Iowa was among the last 4 in. I think they are safely in, although the net rankings don't change very much at this time of the year. Neither do the rankings in the AP. You get in there and you're a top 25 team, you pretty much are going to stay in there unless something very, very odd happens. But at any rate, I don't see how you could have written a better script on Sunday down at Carver Hawkeye Arena than the one that played out.
No, everything came together perfectly. And I say perfectly, and I can't think of one thing that didn't happen positively for the Iowa women's basketball program. Everybody came for Caitlin Clark's ceremony, and I'm not sure how many thought they'd get a big, big, big Iowa women's victory over Southern Cal. 27-57 on the text sign. Said several times last week it was a must-win for Jan Jensen's crew, and they treated it that way. Must-win is debatable. I'm not going to go down that road. Must-win in what regard? So was the Oregon game. But in this particular game, it was terrific. And I think the crowd had a tremendous amount to do with USC's poor shooting, with Iowa's willing Iowa to a victory, so to speak. Lucy Olson was terrific. She's co-Big Ten Player of the Week. I thought the player of the game was Addison O'Grady coming off the bench when Hannah Stolke picked up a fourth foul early in the third quarter and never returned because O'Grady was doing some terrific things. And I think the defenses that Jan Jensen used, first Feuerbach was on Juju Watkins, then it was Guyton, and then there was a mixture of zones and man-to-man, and it really confused USC, I think. Iowa had trouble with USC's press, but eventually solved it and got a huge victory. And beyond that, you have some of the top recruits in the nation in attendance, some of whom have already committed to Iowa. That was part of the perfect storm, too.
Yeah, two of them had already committed. Journey Houston from Davenport North, a deal from down from out in California. But you also had the terrific guard from Johnston. Jenica Lewis was there. The freshman out of Bettendorf, who has already been offered by Iowa and USC as a freshman, by the way, was also in attendance and signing autographs by a 16-year-old signing autographs. Times have changed, certainly. That was a great benefit of what happened. I agree with you about the crowd. If you cannot get up for that game, you're not going to get up for anything. And I think that benefited the Iowa women's team. Yeah, everything except for the first handful of times trying to bring it up against the USC press, that was not looking good to one point. But my cohort, Steve Dozier, the former Prairie coach, called me last night, said it was one of the terrific atmospheres he's ever been in. And he also said the same thing you did. Thing that changed that game was the zone. Iowa just absolutely flummoxed USC by changing defenses, especially going to the zone. And when you go up against an athletic team like that, I just think that is a good move. Now, if they start popping threes, then no, you got to get out of it. But they got to show you they can do that, and it stops athleticism, or at least slows it down a little bit. And I thought Jan Jensen made some very good moves yesterday. No one's saying that should Jan be coach after the game yesterday.
No, and I kept waiting for Stolke to come back in the game, and she never did. And that's why I say O'Grady, I thought, was a big part of that game. Yes, Lucy Olson made some big shots. She was really Watkins' equal in terms of points scored and the impact on the game. And I couldn't agree more with 8186 on the text line about USC being classy to stay on the floor during Caitlin Clark's ceremony. I kind of expected USC would, but it didn't have to. The comments made by its head coach and Watkins and others after the game were totally complimentary and classy. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and even if they chose not to, I would not have been all over them. It's just the way of the world now. But, you know, to their credit that they stayed. And it was in their plans that they would stay. So, you know, classy move by Coach Gottlieb and USC to stay there. 2170 saying people calling it an upset is disrespectful to Iowa. Iowa's just as good as USC, if not better. I expected them to win. I wouldn't go that far.
Well, let's just put it this way. It was the first time that Iowa has beaten a top five team while being unranked in 24 years.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen just every other day.
It doesn't. But were they hyped to play that game? You're darn right they were hyped to play that game. They went out 16-1 on the number four team in the country. Now there may be, you never know, a rematch at some point. Could meet in the Big Ten tournament. That remains to be seen. Just enjoy the fact, if you're an Iowa women's basketball fan, that it was such a glorious day yesterday, and they got the victory, and one that really padded the resume. It doesn't automatically get you into the NCAA tournament, bearing, you know, a complete collapse, but boy, it's going to help.
I would agree with that, and I appreciate 2757 kind of showing their work on why it was a must win, and I get it. Saying the text says must win was to keep the crowd in the game with all the recruits in the building. Keeping the crowd hyped was paramount. What recruit wouldn't want to come? And I get that part, no doubt.
Yeah. Celebrity David Letterman, best BFF of Lisa Bluter, apparently now. Yeah, was in attendance. Gabby Marshall, Kate Martin, others back, alumni back, many people who have not been to Carver before were there, and just added to the atmosphere of everything yesterday. And then the ceremony afterwards, and now right sandwiched between the Megan Gustafson jersey and the Final Four banners will sit Caitlin Clark's banner now for a while anyway, unless they rearrange things or get more banners to put up there. Who knows? 319-366-1600 as the Iowa women get a much-needed win. There was more basketball over the weekend, both men's and women's. Iowa State fell to top 10 rated TCU yesterday in Ames. TCU's good. And Van Lith came in there. Wasn't the leading star of that game for TCU. But Iowa State still squarely on the bubble right now as far as the women's bracketology is concerned with the NCAA tournament. Men's basketball from the weekend, Mark. Before we get to an Eagles Hideaway scoreboard update and get to Rob Gregg coming up here in just a little bit and talking Iowa State, Kansas, and If there is anything wrong with the Iowa State men's basketball team after dropping two in a row, including a 19-point loss at home to Kansas State on Saturday. It was the most topsy-turvy Saturday in AP era history. 11 of the top 25 teams in men's basketball fell on the weekend, Mark. And it was craziness. And then you had everything that went on. It was not a great weekend. I am, as you know, a big, big fan of college basketball. Even I kind of got disgusted a few times over the weekend with the decorum of a lot of people on the court. The Hurleys are nuts, by the way. All of them. Just throw them into a bag. They're all crazy. What Danny Hurley did after the Arizona State game. But it was crazy. Right up to Coach Cal coming into Rupp Arena and beating the pants off Kentucky on Saturday night.
Yeah, this was clearly the reason why I avoid talk about bracketology and net and whatnot. It's weekends like this. And last weekend was sort of similar, although not as historic as this past weekend was. I mean, look at the Big 12 in and of itself, with Kansas State beating Iowa State, Houston losing in a hell of a game, and Kansas losing after having a 19-point lead over Baylor. USC downing Michigan State, thank you very much, on the pick six. Yeah, it was a crazy weekend, and this is college basketball.
It is. We had several, we had a couple of incidents on the court. Texas Tech and Houston, the Texas Tech coach coming unglued after what was a horrible call. And even through replay, kept it as a horrible call. He was shown the door. We mentioned the Hurley incident. It was not a great sportsmanship weekend in the world of college basketball. I will say that. Up and down the line, there was some. You're getting to the point of the season right now. It is a long year in basketball. A lot of practices, a lot of games, and they're kind of in the dog days right now. If you kind of put it into baseball ease. Before the tournament, you start to get your second wind in about a week or so when the tournaments are on the horizon, and you're thinking to yourself, either I'm a senior, this is my last go, or we really need to get this thing going to make a tournament. Maybe they don't do that anymore. Maybe they're counting their NIL money. I don't know at this point, but you kind of had that mid-August baseball behavior, I think, over the weekend in college basketball.
Very few teams avoid it either, and Auburn is about one of the few. You know, Connecticut, the two-time defending national champ, went through a kind of an iffy period, then beat Marquette last weekend, and maybe rounding into shape for the tournament time. Maybe this is what Iowa State is going through. We're going to visit with Rob Gray here shortly in Lawrence, Kansas, and talk about that big matchup against the Jayhawks. And both teams really, you know, anxious for a victory. Iowa State two games back in the standings now.
Yeah, we're helped by Houston losing to Texas Tech. But I think Iowa State getting Texas Tech when they did was a big, big help. And interestingly enough, Iowa State losing at home by 19 to Kansas State. Iowa State falls one spot in the net rankings to 6-7. Interesting. I've never been a proponent of the net system, quad system. I just don't think it's the greatest thing out there. By the way, kudos to the UNI Panthers who blew out Bradley up in Cedar Falls yesterday and got a big victory. Helped out, certainly, their in-state rival, the Drake Bulldogs. Drake with their 20th victory of the year and their eighth straight win over the weekend to go to 10-2, and now a one-game lead over Bradley and a two-game lead over third-place UNI now in the Missouri Valley Conference as they work their way toward Arch Madness. So Drake at 20-2. 319-366-1600, 1345 has no hope for tonight. Just don't get run out of the building. Iowa State has played well at Fog Allen. We'll talk about that with Rob coming up in a minute. Also says, never thought TJ would get the Tech and not Tang. Yeah, TJ was in the Tech column on Saturday. I think he was mad at the calls, but I think he was also, Mark, trying to motivate the troops, and it didn't work.
Yeah, it worked for a little bit. Early in the second half, I thought Iowa State. In fact, you and I exchanged texts. Here comes Iowa State. And to Kansas State's credit, responded nicely and went on to an easy victory.
Did that remind you, in the back of my head, and I'm sorry to – I mean, I enjoy thinking back to the late, great Pete Taylor, the former voice of Iowa State basketball and football. But that reminded me so much of the Henson game from years back when Pete Pete's famous call – Henson, good. a couple 30-footers at Kansas State put up, and I swore I could hear Pete Taylor in the background. Iowa State fans, you know what I'm talking about. And that also happened at Hilton Coliseum.
I do as well.
3-1, you might have been there. I don't know. Maybe you were.
I might have been, Scott.
You don't remember all the basketball games, do you?
There were a few.
60-56 says we were underdogs by 12.5 points as far as the Iowa women are concerned. Happy to be wrong. I thought we would get blown out. Great job by coaches and players. And Greg, good to hear from you up in Epworth. And yes, that was a big win by your Wisconsin Badgers, who are playing just as well as anybody in the Big Ten right now. And also comments the wrestling against Penn State on Friday night. Says Iowa looked like they knew they were going to lose. And, Iowa had a good win, though. That was the one takeaway that was positive, I think, from the meet on Friday night, Isaac, was Drake Ayala.
I would also say Angelo made a pretty good account for himself against Carter. I know he lost that one, but he was getting to that leg pretty well. He just couldn't finish those shots, but it's hard to finish against Starachi. But he looked... a couple more years, a little bit more weight on him. He looks like he's going to be something real special there.
Do we know what happened to necessitate the change?
I don't know. Well, I do have a prediction. Mark is not going to like that it was not Gabe. He'll say that. I think he'll probably say that on Wednesday. I think he probably wanted Gabe to wrestle. But we do not know. I think Brands may just think Angelo is better.
So did that burn the red shirt, though?
No, I think he has one more. He either is not going to wrestle the rest of the season, or he has one more go.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but that did not burn the red shirt. The only red shirt that got burned was Estrada against Maryland.
Okay. All right. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk to Rob Gray in Lawrence, Kansas, coming up here in just a couple of moments. Need to get it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. Classic local American restaurant. Great food, great bar area. Stop on by. They're online at emilshideaway.com. What do we got?
Angel Reese became the first player to be ejected from a game in the 3-on-3 unrivaled league over the weekend. Reese was tossed for objecting and arguing a call. Former Major League Baseball Commissioner Faye Vincent has died at age 86. His three-year term oversaw the 1990 lockout, the earthquake at the 1989 World Series, Roger Maris' single-season home run record, and expansion to Miami and Denver. Ohio State is faced with retooling its football coaching staff as offensive coordinator Chip Kelly took a similar job in the NFL with the Raiders. Previously, defensive coordinator Jim Knowles went to Penn State. A couple pieces of wrestling recruiting news. Fort Dodge, two-time state wrestling champion Deshaun Ross announced his commitment to Oklahoma State. Ross is the third-ranked wrestler in the 2026 class. In addition, as Isaac alluded to earlier, Pennsylvania's most sought-after recruits and Spencer Lee will announce his college choice tomorrow. Bo Bassett's Final Four are Penn State, Iowa, Oklahoma State, and Virginia Tech. Bassett is a junior and 109-0 in his prep career. Finally, Jefferson High School will host its home dual wrestling meet tomorrow night at Roosevelt Business Academy to mark the 75th anniversary of wrestling at what was then known as Roosevelt Junior High. It is also Jefferson's Military Appreciation Night. Ceremonies to mark the anniversary prior to the meet against Marion will begin at 6:15.
Very nice. Will they wear Roosevelt colors, though, tomorrow? Will they don the red and black?
That I'm not sure. Roosevelt been a longtime feeder of Jefferson, but I don't know.
Yeah. Lots of good stuff tomorrow. Kennedy Lindmar tomorrow night as well in boys basketball. I know that a lot of people are looking forward to as well. 3:30, we'll take a break. Come back. Rob Gray joins us from Lawrence, Kansas, and we'll talk Iowa State, Kansas, and all things Cyclones when we return.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And it's going to be a cloudy day with the temperatures held in the 40s and feeling cooler with the gusty conditions. As we head into tonight, the clouds will gradually clear up and the winds will back off. Temperatures drop into the upper teens. Tomorrow, the clouds move back in. Temperatures will be cooler in the upper 20s. And then clouds remain through the day on Wednesday with a chance for a wintry mix increasing in the afternoon and evening, leading to the possibility of slick streets. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym. Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quickstar. And Quickstar is your convenient place in your neighborhood to stop. Whether you need something for the lunch hour, whether you need something to take home for the family for dinner for the night, whatever you need, food's here at your neighborhood Quickstar. And it's ready when you are, including tornadoes. They are quick for on-the-go meals, and they've got all kinds of great fillings in those, from breakfast to some lunch ideas as well. And you can also stop on by and take home and bake a freshly made Cheese Mountain Pizza. So easy and delicious. Some other great sales going on right now include the Quickery White Bread, 99 cents per loaf, limit two. Kitchen Cravings 80% Lean Ground Beef, 16-ounce packages for $2.99, limit 2. And apples, oranges, and pears, 3 for $1.49, limit 12, single pieces. And all that and more available at your neighborhood Quickstar.
In Iowa, farming isn't just a profession. It's a purpose. You can feel it in our 29.9 million acres of farmland. You can see it in the nearly 72,000 Iowans who work in agriculture. You can hear it at our farmers markets. You can count it in the $159.5 billion it brings our state. And you can taste it at your family's dinner table. A lot of farmers in our state rely on Bayer's tools and inventions because Bayer has a purpose too, to help farmers thrive. Learn more at go.bayer.com/purpose, paid for by Bayer.
Got the midwinter blues? Maybe a little cabin fever? A little need to get away from the mundane? Wild Rose Clinton has just what you need. Our $99 play and stay package is back. Get a room for just $99, and when you check in, you'll instantly get $50 in free play and a $50 dining credit. Book by noon this Thursday by calling 563-243-9000. That's 243-9000. Stays eligible for this incredible offer through March 16th. Call today. You'd rather be here. Some blackout dates apply. Offer based on double occupancy.
This Black History Month, National University honors those who have broken barriers and paved the way for future generations. If you're a parent and a professional, a dreamer and a doer, NU is here to support you with flexible online classes and career-focused resources, so you can earn your degree while balancing work, family, and everything in between. Visit nu.edu to learn more. That's nu.edu.
When it comes to protecting my family's future, I want a life insurance company that's at the top of their game. That's why I got same-day coverage through Ethos. There was no paperwork, no waiting around, and no medical exam. I just answered a few health questions online, and Ethos set me up with a $3 million policy for about $2 a day. Go to tryethos.com and get it done today. That's TryEthos.com. TryEthos.com. Sample rates is a 10-year term life policy for 35-year-old healthy non-smoking male. Billed monthly.
Back with you, 3:35, Monday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. We've got Spencer on sports from 4 until 6, and then the Cyclones and the Kansas Jayhawks coming up tonight for you from Allen Fieldhouse, and that'll be a 7 o'clock pregame, 8 o'clock with the tip-off on Big Monday for that one coming up tonight. And Rob Gray is set to join us coming up here in one moment, because, Mark, we never did get to our bad news, if you're an Iowa basketball fan. As if you needed more Iowa men's basketball bad news. Owen Freeman is shut down. He is out for the year with a finger injury. We'll get to that more after we talk with Rob before 4 o'clock today.
Yeah, tough news. Already a tough season for the Iowa Hawkeyes. Going to have surgery today, or already has had surgery today, on that finger on his right hand. Tough news to lose your leader in points, rebounds, and block shots.
Yeah, and the defense inside, which was not good to begin with. Ugh. Good luck. Ryan, we'll see more Riley Mulvey now. Maybe some Evan Bronze, Tajo, we'll see. Purdue in town tomorrow for a 6 o'clock game. That's tomorrow. Tonight, it's Iowa State and Kansas. And to discuss that and other things, our friend Rob Gray from the Gazette and Cyclone Fanatic. You can read his stuff at either of those fine publications. Joining us, are you in Lawrence yet, Rob?
I am actually at my accommodation on the way because I can't check in after midnight. It turns out I'm at a haunted place, the Haunted Belvoir Inn and Winery, in Liberty, Missouri. So I'll have an interesting place to sleep after what should be a very lively affair there in Lawrence at Allen Fieldhouse.
Best of luck to you. I would never set foot into that place.
Total fluke. I didn't know. I just saw a good rate. I was like, oh, is it a winery? I can see why it has that reputation, to be honest. But we got basketball to talk about, so I'll shut up about the haunted inn.
Yeah, but we will talk about that next time.
Hopefully we will, yes.
Speaking of haunted places, that's Fog Allen, and they say you can see ghosts in there at times. Iowa State has actually fared decently in Lawrence over the years, and coming off of two straight losses, You wrote the fact that Iowa State kind of had a come-together meeting yesterday and kind of flush everything from Saturday, what you have to do, and you get right back at it, right?
Absolutely. I mean, Arizona needs the miracle shot, 60-footer or whatever, to force overtime, or Iowa State beats a really good team on the road early last week, Monday. And then they just laid an egg completely against Kansas State. And Kansas State, you know, they paid a lot of money to assemble that roster. And, of course, it's vastly underperformed. But they've won three in a row now, and all by blowouts, including against West Virginia. So, K-State might be figuring something out. But again, you can't, A, you don't think you want to get beat at Hilton, especially when you carry a 29-game home win streak into it. And certainly you don't want to think you're going to get blown out by a Kansas State team that's sub-500. Interesting stat, I think I noted in the story after the game, ESPN Stats and Info put out that is the, like, the biggest or the only time an unranked team went into a top five team's place, won by 15 or more points in the AP poll history. So that kind of tells you something, too, just how bizarre that game was. But, you know, a lot of Kansas State played great. Iowa State played the opposite of great. And, so they're riding a two-game losing streak into Allen Fieldhouse, which, oddly enough, Kansas has already lost two games here, and they're coming off blowing a 21-point lead at Baylor. So both teams smarting. Both teams probably going to try to beat up on the other team. So it should be a physical whistle-filled event tonight in Lawrence.
Rob, I'm not sure you can draw parallels with the last two games, Arizona and Kansas State, aside from maybe the fact that Iowa State had 18 turnovers in each game. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, they've been very very careless with the basketball. You know, in one of the games, they had a fair amount of turnovers recently. I think they were all steals, which is very strange. But that's not been the case, and certainly not against Kansas State. Kansas State defended well, but Iowa State just dribbling into two or three guys, particularly Keyshawn Gilbert, who's been so good for Iowa State, but really has kind of struggled at times in the last several games. He was great in the second half against Arizona, kind of helped the Cyclones seemingly sew that game up. And they're really missing Milan Momcilovic, and it looks like they'll miss him for at least a couple more weeks, because even when he's not scoring, the fact that he's on the floor and he's a 44% three-point shooter and has those fadeaways and can get into the paint and make plays, they can space the floor so much better. Teams are really collapsing. Teams are really bumping the guards right at the point of attack and, you know, making the ball stick. They're not moving the ball anywhere near like they were. They're 3-3 since Momcilovic went out, and obviously they had surgery on the hand injury, and that went well. But it's really obvious they're missing him now just because of how much he forces teams to, it spreads the floor out for you.
That was going to be my next question. How much are they missing Momcilovic at this time? And yes, he is a very good shooter, but the spacing on the court is what I have noticed for Iowa State with him, especially in the baseline. I mean, he loved that baseline corner jumper, whether it's a three or two. And it seems like Iowa State is just trying to penetrate a little bit more, trying to set up things on the drive and kick instead of just having that spacing like they usually have.
Yeah, and I mean, it's different. You don't have a 6'7" guy who can shoot it like that, right? You've got, you know, pretty big guards, but it's not the same. And obviously, those guys are all good. Curtis Jones with his floater, Taman Lipsey with his, you know, throws himself into the paint and can really finish well. And Gilbert's been, I think, one of the best finishers around the rim among guards in the country the last couple of years. But just not doing as well lately. Teams are sagging. Teams are saying, we'll stop you here. And with Kansas State, whether it be Hawkins, whether it be the other big guys, Arizona had a couple of really active bigs that can protect the rim. That's made it very difficult there. And then when the three-point shot isn't falling, you know, like it hasn't been for three of the last four quarters for Curtis Jones, that really makes things difficult for Iowa State. And in addition, Nate Heisey, Brant Chatfield, Damarian Watson are giving you nothing offensively off the bench. So that's a very different dynamic from when we had Momcilovic in the starting lineup giving you something, sometimes a lot, and Curtis Jones giving you a lot off the bench every time. Now Curtis is starting, struggling uncharacteristically, and they just got no one else to turn to. I think the key to tonight is somebody off that bench has to find a way to get going offensively a little bit.
Rob, Iowa State, for most of the year, has been very well connected as a team. But these last two games, you mentioned the team meeting. Otzelberger also has said that maybe it's more mental than anything else. He wants his players to be more connected mentally. And Scott and I talked earlier about maybe in basketball, too. It's a long season, and almost every team goes through it. So I guess a victory would help cure those ills, huh?
Yeah, to some extent. And I don't think the team is fraying from a togetherness standpoint. And really the allusion in my story was more to how they're going to do when they come back and do light practice and look at film, kind of look themselves in the mirror and look at each other and say, how are we going to get this better? I don't know if it was technically a team meeting situation, but either way, a gut check moment. And, you know, TJ is hard on these guys. They know it coming in. Starts in the summer, starts from day one, starts from minute one. And they tend to hit these little, whether it be mid-February or mid-January, early February. I alluded to in my article for the game today that they had a game against Oklahoma State, much like Kansas State. It was about a 500 team, came into Hilton, beat it, I would say, 73-36, I think, was the score in TJ's first year. Now, that was a very offensive challenge team, fewest points ever scored by State in Hilton Coliseum. So that's 50-plus years. But it was a similar situation, and Iowa State fell into a three-game losing streak at that point. But, hey, that team made the Sweet 16. So there's no panic among this group. I think they still care about each other. They're still bought in, and they're just hitting a point where there's probably a little bit of tiredness, a little bit of fatigue, and certainly frustration with the offensive struggles and, frankly, defensive struggles too. I mean, too many easy rim runs for Kansas State, and boy, teams are hitting open threes when they need them, even from 55 feet against Iowa State right now. So combination of a lot of things for Iowa State where they need to get well and get back on track and start looking like the potential number one seed they look like all the season.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned the defense because, yeah, it's not been there like we are used to seeing it with TJ in the last handful of games. And the other thing, I guess, that the only thing that kind of threw me in the Kansas State game was after Iowa State got it down to single digits, Kansas State came back with that run. I thought Iowa State kind of panicked a little and took some really bad shots, to be honest with you, and trying to get back in the game. You get that. That's human nature a little bit. But some shots that you haven't seen Iowa State take all year.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, they fought all the way back to cut it to six. The housing guy for the good guard for Kansas State hit just a killer three, deep three, kind of a logo three late in the shot clock. They defended it well, and he just made a great shot. Then Iowa State either missed a shot or turned it over. Kansas comes down, gets a layup, and boom, you're back down double digits again right away. It was just, it did feel like that was the comeback, and Hilton was into it. It felt like that whole Hilton magic vibe, and it just fell apart quickly, and that's kind of where they're at right now. But I mean, from a positive perspective, from them, they're still 17-4. They're still, of course, Vegas hasn't lost its faith. They're still tied with Alabama for the fourth best odds to win the national championship. So, you know, hopefully they can hold it together here until Mumshila Beach comes back and get some decent wins and then close it strong. But definitely a wobbly stretch for Iowa State that threatens to get a lot wobblier at Allen Fieldhouse tonight.
In terms of Kansas, Rob, what's the big focus for Iowa State? Certainly you have a guy like Hunter Dickinson in the middle. You got Mayo, you got Harris, among others. Kind of pretty good balance, but inconsistent.
Yeah, I mean, very inconsistent, particularly offensively. I mean, Kansas statistically is one of the best defensive teams in the country. And that was what I thought, you know, like came in Ames a couple of weeks ago. And Iowa State just really out-toughed them. I mean, just really kind of pushed them around. Dickinson was pretty much a non-factor. Mayo got going a little bit, but that's kind of been Kansas's MO. KJ Adams, I think Iowa State's going to have to get back to being the more physical team from start to finish, getting the 50-50 balls. Bill Self running a rhapsodist almost stream of praise for Iowa State on how they get to 50-50 balls and make them, you know, not 50-50 balls in their favor. The exact opposite happened against Kansas State in a more glaring way than I've seen since TJ's took over the program. And Iowa State's got to dig back into that identity. And another side note in terms of the offense going to defense, TJ talked about, and this has happened in the past too, and it's just, I think it's a standard natural inclination. You miss a shot you think you should make, oh, you're kind of deflated, and it translates to the other end of the floor. They've got to completely shed that. They got to say, hey, our defense is what's going to feed our offense. And that's light ball turnovers. That's being tougher than the other team and making them miserable on their end in the half court. And if Iowa State does that tonight, they've got a real chance to A, banish this winning streak, and B, really start feeling good about themselves again as they dig into the rest of the month of February.
Kevin Lehman, our friend on Thursdays, tried to describe what it's like going into Fog Allen Fieldhouse and playing. You've been there. It's one incredible place to watch a basketball game. It's kind of describe what it's like to go in there and try to win on that court in that arena.
Yeah, I think for first timers, which fortunately for Iowa State, most of their players aren't. There is probably a bit of a sense of awe. I mean, they've got the whole museum-like stuff surrounding it, you know, and here's this many wins, here's these teams, there's these national champions and all that, statues, et cetera, et cetera. And then you couple that with it. I mean, they've renovated it, so it doesn't have that same, you know, really old-school feel that I actually appreciated a little bit more, but it still exudes that a little bit. And that the fans are right on top of you, and they are loud, and they are into it. Doesn't matter if they've lost a couple at home this year. Maybe that makes them even more amped up tonight, you know, given the way Iowa State and Kansas have gone back and forth in the last several seasons and really decades to, at times. You talked about ghosts. I mean, I think people walk in there, and they know that they're in one of those places, one of those handful of places where – some of the best basketball players and college basketball players have played the game. So I think it has that aura. I think once the game starts, it fades, but the fan response does not change. And obviously the Cyclones are used to one of the best home court advantages at Hilton, but Kansas does hit a little bit different, and that makes it imperative. Kansas used to be famous for those runs, those big offensive runs, and if they get one of those tonight and those fans get into it, it's good night for Iowa State. But if they can stay calm and, you know, weather any storm, it'll be an 8-0 run, 10-0 run, I think they'll be okay.
You took in Iowa State and TCU women yesterday. Before we let you go, Haley Van Lith was terrific, but she got some help yesterday for TCU in their 82-69 victory. Iowa State's right on that bubble right now, that's for sure, and it's probably going to be that way for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, they had opportunities to get two top 10 wins, and they were in those games late and just couldn't make the winning plays. I mean, Iowa State's in real trouble if Addie Brown, player of the week, by the way, career-high 31 points, and Audie Crooks, 29 points. They're scoring all but 9 of their team's points. That's just not going to cut it. I mean, the rest of the players were 2 for 9 from the field. Kelsey Jones had a nice 3 before halftime to make it a 1-point game. And, you know, Iowa State has to win minimum of probably 5 of their next 7 games. And obviously some of those are on the road. They're playing a bunch of teams with the same type of resume as they have in terms of the Big 12 standings. We've seen them do that many times in the past, but some of those role players have got to get going, and especially, you know, they can find a way to hunt some more threes. 5 for 9 from threes and 3 in that game, outscored 21 points from the 3-point line. And as Finley said, you know, TCU's role players, when their star Prince didn't have any points, averages 19, came up big time, and Iowa State's didn't. That's got to change for the Cyclones starting at Cincinnati and with Colorado coming to Ames on Saturday.
All right, best of luck with the game, and best of luck, and we will expect a complete report next time about your stay in the haunted winery in Liberty, Missouri.
Yes. unless I disappear, you will get a complete report, I promise.
Best of luck, Rob.
I appreciate it, Scott and Mark. Always good to join you.
All right, thanks. Rob Gray joining us from a haunted bed and breakfast and winery in Liberty, Missouri. First time, by the way, Isaac, we've ever had that on the program.
Might be the only time.
Might be the only time. I've got nothing. All right. We'll take a break. Come back. Wrap things up for you after this here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class on 1600 ESPN.
People are different. People want to be treated differently. We don't take you through a process.
We're going to cater the process to them, to buy the vehicle the way they want to buy it.
Patrick Gaines and Terry Adams of Dairy Brothers Ford talk about what Here For You means to them.
When it's right for you, from a time to a budget, it's not about when we're ready to do it, it's about when you're ready to do it.
No worries, no rush at all.
That's one of the things that that I would say Here For You also means.
That's the goal. That is the goal.
Find out what it means to you at Deary Ford in Iowa City.
Business owners, are you tired of hearing, "I didn't know you were here"? Frustrated that your unique story isn't being told? If your sales are flat or declining, it's time for a change. I'm Stacy Daybault, branding specialist and strategist with KZIA, and I have the solution. Brandsformation is a proven marketing system that delivers results. You'll have an entire team of experts working on your message to inspire and drive sales.
To schedule an appointment, call this station or text BRAND to 76626.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family could have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kurt Gustafson or Lana Pierce at 319-363-7214.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
We are back to wrap things up on a Monday edition of the Gym Class. KJ Pilcher will join us coming up on Tuesday. Look ahead to the state dual regionals. Tomorrow, that's also coming up tomorrow evening. There's a ton of things in the high school world coming up tomorrow. So we'll do that. Look back at Iowa and Penn State and more with KJ coming up on Tuesday. And also talk Iowa State and Kansas. That game tonight at 7 o'clock for you right here on 1600 ESPN, just past 8 o'clock with the tip-off. As we mentioned, Mark Owen Freeman out for the season. He has been shut down. Fran McCaffrey, Owen's family, all coming together. And, of course, all that did was start the speculation wheel a-buzzing around. Half the people, probably the same people that are compiling lists right now for the Iowa coaching position, are the same ones that are saying that Owen Freeman has played his last game for Iowa. I'm not going to say that as of this moment.
Typical reaction by some. Unfounded. What we do know is he's out for the year. It hampers Iowa greatly, an Iowa team that is not in good shape anyway. And, I'd like to know when he got hurt. I don't remember him getting hurt in a game. Maybe it happened in practice. I guess it's kind of immaterial now that he's out for the year.
Yeah, whenever he got hurt, he was hurt badly enough that he needed to have surgery, has had that today. We have not heard anything that it did not go well, so we are assuming that it did. But he has played his last basketball of the year. And keep in mind, the bottom three of the Big Ten do not get to go to Indianapolis for the 2025 Big Ten Men's Basketball Tournament. And I'd say coming into this week, it is a big, big week with two big games at home. Tomorrow night against Purdue and then Saturday against Greg's Wisconsin Badgers, which is a 12 noon game. Tomorrow night is a 6 o'clock tip-off, by the way, at Carver Hawkeye Arena. We'll talk about and preview that. Look back at Iowa State and Kansas as well coming up tomorrow, Mark. Looking forward to that, and we will talk to you at that time.
Sounds great. Talk then.
All right. You've been listening to The Gym Class on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN. Stay tuned. Spencer on Sports coming your way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 3. And right here with another edition of The Gym Class on 1600 ESPN.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the